Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode number 51 of Proclaim, the podcast that teaches every Bible-believing Christian how to preach the gospel by any means necessary in many different settings, including using the internet and what I have dubbed the podcast pulpit, which is extremely powerful in our day and time and reaches every nook and cranny of the world on little devices. It is absolutely amazing, and we give God the glory, praise, and honor for that. What a time to be alive with the gospel. Beloved, our scripture passage on proclaim and proclaiming the gospel and preaching is Luke 6:12, which reads, "And it came to pass in those days that he, Jesus, went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God." Our proclaimed quote on preaching today is from Andrew Murray. He said, "Jesus never taught his disciples how to preach, only how to pray. He did not speak much of what was needed to preach well, but much of praying well." And so, dear friends, in this Proclaim podcast episode today, we are using as our texts the following three books: Lectures to My Students by Charles Haddon Spurgeon, The Prince of Preachers; The Preacher and His Preaching by Alfred P. Gibbs; and Biblical Preaching by Haddon W. Robinson. And for those of you who are going to be witnesses for the Lord, and you're going to proclaim the gospel via the many avenues we have before us today, the array of opportunities to proclaim the gospel and really have an impact and actually reach people, I want you to understand you cannot live like the devil at home and then proclaim the gospel to the world. God is watching you, and God is not fond of hypocrites and phonies and fakes. So that's why I am laying the foundation. We'll deal with some more practical things later, but I'm laying the foundation because the vessels of the Lord must be clean before the Lord will use them. So today our topic is titled "The Preacher's Private Prayer, Part 7, from Lectures to My Students by Charles Haddon Spurgeon." You wonder why he's called the Prince of Preachers? Well, because he was a man of prayer, and he believed in prayer, and he had people praying for him while he was preaching. That's why he is still having an impact many years later, and he's been dead and gone for a long time. By the way, from the earlier quotes, I hope that you understand that you really can't preach if you don't pray right. Okay? You just can't. But anyway, he goes on to share with us, "I am afraid that more or less most of us need self-examination as to this matter. If any man here should venture to say that he prays as much as he ought as a student, I should gravely question his statement. And if there be a minister, deacon, or elder present who can say that he believes he is occupied with God in prayer to the full extent to which he might be, I should be pleased to know him. I can only say that if he can claim this excellence, he leaves me far behind, for I can make no such claim. I wish I could, and I make the confession with no small degree of shamefacedness and confusion, but I am obliged to make it. If we are not more negligent than others, if we are not more negligent than others, this is no consolation to us. The shortcomings of others are no excuses for us. How few of us could compare ourselves with Mr. Joseph Aline, whose character I have mentioned before. At the time of his health, writes his wife, he did rise. His wife wrote this. He did rise constantly at or before 4 of the clock and would be much troubled if he heard smiths or other craftsmen at their trades before he was at communion with God Almighty, saying to me often how this noise shames me. Does not my master deserve more than theirs? From 4 till 8 he spent in prayer, holy contemplation, and singing of psalms, in which he much delighted and did daily practice alone, as well as in the family. Sometimes he would suspend the routine of parochial engagements and devote whole days to these secret exercises, in order to which he would contrive to be alone in some void house or else in some sequestered spot in the open valley. Here, there would be much prayer and meditation on God and heaven. Could we read Jonathan Edwards' description of David Brainerd and not blush? His life, says Edwards, shows the right way to success in the works of the ministry. He sought it as a resolute soldier seeks victory in a siege or battle, or as a man that runs a race for a great prize, animated with love to Christ and souls. How did he labor always fervently, not only in word and doctrine, in public and private, but in prayers day and night, wrestling with God in secret and traveling in birth with unutterable groans and agonies until Christ were formed in the hearts of the people to whom he was sent? How did he thirst for a blessing upon his ministry and watch for souls as one that must give account? How did he go forth in the strength of the Lord God, seeking and depending on the special influence of the Spirit to assist and succeed him? And what was the happy fruit at last? After long waiting and many dark and discouraging appearances, like a true son of Jacob, he persevered in wrestling through all the darkness of the night until the breaking of the day. Might not Henry Martin's journal shame us, where we find such entries as these? September the 24th, the determination with which I went to bed last night of devoting this day to prayer and fasting, I was enabled to put into execution. In my first prayer for deliverance from worldly thoughts, depending on the power and promises of God for fixing my soul while I prayed, I was helped to enjoy much abstinence from the world for nearly an hour. Then read the history of Abraham to see how familiarly God had revealed himself to mortal men of old. Afterwards, in prayer for my own sanctification, my soul breathed freely and ardently after the holiness of God, and this was the best season of the day. we might perhaps more truly join with him in his lament after the first year of his ministry that he judged he had dedicated too much time to public ministrations and too little time to private communion with God Almighty. Shall we pray? Holy Father God, I praise you and thank you for probably, Lord, the most powerful Proclaim podcast we've ever done. And Lord, I pray that it will go far and wide. I pray that you'll move upon the hearts of every person interested in proclaiming the gospel. Help them to understand the power is in the prayer time, not the preaching time. And no power will show up in the preaching time if there's no prayer time. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. Now, beloved, as we close today, I want to speak to those who have never truly trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior, as well as those who have doubts about their salvation. Allow me to share with you very clearly how you can trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today and be saved from hell fire forever and have a home in heaven with God forever. Here is how in more detail. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's law, and so have I. We all have. For the Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Second, accept the fact, dear friend, that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." Third, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell right now without Christ. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Also, the Bible states in Revelation 21:8, "But the fearful and unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Now, this is bad news indeed, but I have some good news for you, and I proclaim it to you today. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, his name is Jesus Christ," he was speaking about himself, "that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And just believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart today to save your soul, and he will save you. Romans chapter 10 verse 9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul today, and he will. May God bless you and keep you.